From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Alcohol marketing has changed dramatically in the past decade, with the target market shifting more towards the feminine. Once aimed at men, ads now encourage women to escape stress by drinking. And research suggests women are taking that advice. The number of women dying from alcohol-related problems rose 130% nationwide since 1999, and some are calling it a looming health crisis. We'll talk with recovery specialists about why women of all ages are particularly susceptible to alcohol addiction. Plus, he's an artist that works in paper, but Matthew Schlein does a lot more than origami. His works bend and fold paper to reveal incredible patterns in geometry and symmetry, and they're being used by scientists to filter water and even design better solar cells. He talks about his upcoming exhibition at FGCU and the unusual places his paper art has appeared. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Imagine using industrial paper engineering skills to bend paper into a three-dimensional kaleidoscope. That's what artist Matt Schlein does in his new exhibition, Telemetry, here at FGCU. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk with the artist about his work and how he applies his techniques with paper to sciences like solar energy and clean water. But first, the marketing of mommy juice started a little over a decade ago with slogans selling alcohol as a well-deserved break to stressed-out women. The cheeky marketing may have something to do with the results of a recent report by the Washington Post, which shows that drinking among women is up dramatically. White women are increasingly likely to drink dangerously. More than a fourth of them have drinks more than once a week. Binge drinking is up 40% among women since 1997. And in 2013, more than a million ladies ended up in the hospital as a result of heavy drinking. Women are a particularly susceptible segment of population, according to recovery experts, and two of them are here talking with me today. First, we have Brenda Iliff with the Betty Ford Hazelden Center in Naples, who's with us on the phone. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks for covering this important topic to many of your listeners. Thanks.
And we also have Leslie Robinson with Street Chicks in Recovery from Cape Coral here in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks, you bet. Hi, Brenda. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Leslie?
I know. I was excited when I heard you were going to be on the program today.
Thanks.
It's a tight community in the recovery world. We're talking about the change in marketing of alcohol to women and the resultant change in women and alcohol problems. Do you have a question or a comment? Share your thoughts with us at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Brenda Iliff with the Hazelden Betty Ford Center. Have you seen a change in the way women are interacting with alcohol as a result of this normalization of mommy juice and escaping stress through alcohol?
Absolutely. You know, while the Post just recently reported on it, we've been seeing it for probably, I would say, 8 to 10 years, where the social media has started to really change the way that women look at alcohol. You know, years ago, women were maybe struggling with alcohol and or other drugs, but they were pretty invisible. Now it's all over Facebook. You know, the whole social media phase has really changed. I mean, many of the alcohol providers for years actually have been changing the names of their drinks, you know, to mommy juice or mommy's night out. The term play date, you know, might be that several moms get together and, you know, have their kids on the playground, but they're drinking, you know, while they're doing it and stuff. So yeah, the whole piece about the way women are drinking and the openness to it has really changed. It's become much more normalized, in fact, almost glamorized in some ways, that if I'm going to be a strong woman and a working mom, I need to have a little bit of mommy juice. It's really an equal rights tragedy in many ways.
It's equal, but it's also unequal, and I'm going to talk to you about that later, about how differently men and women metabolize alcohol and how that has such an impact on people that's different.
Absolutely.
But on the marketing side of things, I wanted to ask you, your demographic tends to be older women, but this marketing towards the young working women, do you find that older women are responding to it too because they want to be young and sassy and kind of be cute and jokey about consuming alcohol?
Absolutely. You know, we live in Collier County. I know FGCU is located in Lee County, but Collier County is a blue zone. We're looking at how do we get younger? How do we live longer? And then we also have a lot of people, as you said, who are coming down to this area. They have possibly means and wealth. They don't have to work. They're probably retired, and these folks are very, very vulnerable to addiction of any sort. And you know, we'll talk later about how women metabolize alcohol and other drugs very different than men, but so do people once they're 45 and older. So a woman who is a little bit older has really double the risk than she would have had when she was younger.
Leslie Robinson, you're a recovering alcoholic yourself, right?
Yes, yes.
Tell me how you got started drinking.
I got started drinking, I'm 52 years old, so basically when I was spending my middle school years, alcohol was, I think it was just more open. People were still smoking in their houses, they were still smoking on TV, and there wasn't the education on alcohol. So I grew up in a rural area, and alcohol was just kind of part of the recreation, going to keggers out in the woods, and that's how I got introduced to alcohol. My mom and dad had alcohol in the house. They weren't heavy drinkers, but still I grew up, you know, they had the dinner parties, and everybody had a drink, so.
It was just part of normal life?
Yes, exactly.
You just picked up on it as a cultural thing, like a family culture and community culture?
No, exactly. Definitely community culture.
Yeah. Your organization is called Street Chicks in Recovery. You work with a lot of young women who are desperate to get sober, correct?
Yes.
And do you find that these younger women are responding to these kinds of ads and this change of drinking norms?
Well, absolutely. You know, the data out there today is that kids will see 500,000 ads on alcohol before they're 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. And then you go on social media, and there was a scene, for example, from an Amy Schumer movie in which she drank straight out of a box of wine. The maker of that wine used that clip in social media advertising, and they say that the sales for that particular wine jumped more than 20%. Does this kind of, you know, imagery and things like social media and Facebook and normalization, does that cause people to find it more easy to start on that road?
Well, I mean, absolutely. The marketers know that. I mean, they know all the science, and that neurons that fire together, wire together. So when they're actually advertising to you on television, they're not necessarily selling, you know, a product or their name brand. They're selling the beach. They're selling the youth. They're selling the energy. They're selling the sex. And you see that, and so your brain connects to that. And if you see that 500,000 times before you're 18, your brain's going to wire that all together.
Yeah, it is going to have an impact. And Brenda, I wanted to have you tell me a little bit more now about how women physically interact with alcohol differently.
Oh, you know, with women, clearly we're created equal, but very, very different. And that starts physically. The one of the pieces, there's several pieces that are very different for women than guys. One is that in many ways we're more efficient with the alcohol. We have less of an enzyme in our stomach called the alcohol dehydrogenase enzyme. And that's the enzyme that breaks down the alcohol. So when we take alcohol into our systems as women of any age, we tend to send it out into our systems much more concentrated than a guy would. Technically, we're kind of more efficient. We get more into our system through our stomach. But the other piece is not only do we send it out more concentrated into our bloodstream and our system, the other piece is, as women, we tend to have more fat in our systems than water, and that's not about body fat. That's more about fat to protect that little baby or, you know, for reproduction and stuff. So we're created different. And that fat also absorbs the alcohol better. So we send it out into our systems much more concentrated, and then we absorb it better. So that's why they say one drink for a woman has twice the impact than that same drink does for a man. And I used to think, well, but women are usually smaller than men, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying that a 150-pound woman and a 150-pound man, if they both have a drink, that one drink is going to have twice the impact on the woman. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean she's going to be drunker, but it does mean it's going to have twice the impact on her brain, on her organs, on her liver, on her body organs. So the damage we see can be much greater with women, and the death can be much greater with women.
And is there a difference in how a woman's liver can recover from alcohol once the person stops drinking from a man?
There is. There is. You know, our brains recover pretty well. There comes a point, though, where the brain is not going to recover, you know. The livers come back pretty well, pretty quick, but then if people drink again, they can equally just as fast go down. But one of the pieces that's a little different for women with their livers recovering is even when they quit drinking, their liver may still continue to have some long-term concerns and continue to get worse. So, you know, over the years, I worked with many different medical providers, and I remember within the last couple of years asking one of our medical providers here, who is the sickest people you see? And I kind of expected to hear the 80-year-olds, you know. That's not what I heard, the middle-aged women that are alcoholics.
Well, and
alcohol...
And you had mentioned earlier there's a difference once you hit 45 with your metabolism as people get older. And that's about the time a lot of people are getting close to the retirement age, or, you know, 45 and thereafter, around 55 and 60. Their metabolism's different from what it was when they were in their 20s. And you say that
everything,
so like you can get
down
through college and make it through all that and not become an alcoholic. But then the way things change after 45, you can slip into it?
Absolutely. We see a lot of folks here who are called late stage, late onset. And, you know, they've been high functioning, ran businesses, high philanthropic, whatever, ran families, you know, done really well in life, really well, and had one or two drinks a day their whole life, no problem, really, you know. And then what happens sometimes is as they age, that one or two drinks, everything slows down a little bit, you know. The kidneys slow down, so it's not getting rid of the poisons quite as quick. The gastrointestinal system slows down. And then maybe you move to Florida and you have a little bit of less structure, you know. And then there's the happy hours, and you might be adding one or two drinks, but you might not. You might still be doing one or two drinks a day. And then you might be struggling with a little anxiety, or maybe a struggle sleeping. So you go to a healthcare provider, get a benzodiazepine to help with that. And then maybe you have a knee replacement surgery, and so you get an opiate, a painkiller, and all of a sudden it's the perfect storm. I mean, we see a lot of folks who seriously never had a problem. The other piece is sometimes loss. You know, they might have lost their function, whether that was as a caregiver or as a mom, or they might have lost a really important person to them, or they might have lost their quote-unquote importance. We have people that say, man, people always used to ask my opinion, and now nobody does. But, you know, we all want to feel good, and a little extra drink or a little extra anxiety pill. So we see a lot of folks who are really what we call accidental addicts. You know, it's kind of the perfect storm, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But a big piece of that can clearly be metabolism and how we metabolize things so much different as we age.
Maybe with it being in your system for a little bit longer because things are moving slower, more slowly, you get more used to it, and maybe your body, like physiologically, becomes more dependent, perhaps.
Yep. And well, you're building up a tolerance because it's in your system. Absolutely.
Yeah. Leslie, as far as the difference between men and women in alcoholism, do you see women hitting rock bottom sooner than men, especially in their younger years?
Absolutely. You know, I just want to piggyback on what Brenda was talking about. You know, we metabolize alcohol differently, and we break down faster. We break down faster physically and definitely socially and economically. We break down. I mean, the shame and alcoholism for women is... I mean, that's why I started Street Chicks in Recovery, because the playing field was just not level when women got sober.
Did you feel that, or do the people that come and work with you, do they feel that there's more shame associated being a woman that has a problem with alcohol than a man?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a huge stigma for women to have any type of vice. You know, with men, boys will be boys. You know, you come in, you get clean and sober. Both people come in, they have nothing, you know, because they've ran their life into the ground. You know, this is, I don't want to make a broad sweep of every single person that, you know, that recovers from alcoholism. But generally, my experience and what I've seen, they both get sober, right? The man gets a job. The woman gets a job. He throws the old lady $100. Everybody claps for him. You know, DCF throws her the kids back. They're traumatized. They don't have any counseling. She has no education. She has no skills. She's working at the Circle K. She gets the kids back. She picks up a drink or her drug back, and she's back on the street. And now she's the, you know, proverbial, you know, not good word.
Yeah, it's a tough cycle for people to break out of. And Brenda was mentioning that sometimes older people will get into drinking a little bit here and there. Then they have a knee replacement. They have a pain pill. Then they have a little sleep anxiety or anxiety. They have trouble getting to sleep, and they kind of go into other things. Do you see young people having alcohol blossom into other other types of substances?
Actually, my experience, what I'm seeing with working with young people is that I'm seeing their opiate addiction blossom into alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brenda, you seeing that too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a gateway drug now for the young people.
So yep. It's like the opposite direction.
Yes.
So they have maybe like a knee surgery or something from a sports injury and have a pain pill or whatever, and they get into the pain medication, opioids?
No, the young people today are getting into opioids into high school. They're going from – when I started out, you know, back in my day, you know, I started out drinking, smoking a little marijuana, doing some psychedelics, and then in the 80s graduating into cocaine and then into crack cocaine and then full-blown alcoholism. Today what I'm seeing in high school or junior high when you're starting to mess around, I'm seeing kids starting out with maybe marijuana. In high school, they're shooting heroin. And then right into, I mean, it's just bang, bang. There's no, it was like a slower progression in my generation.
And things are completely different now.
That's what I'm seeing.
Are you seeing the same thing, Brenda?
Yeah, absolutely. We are seeing people who have been injured and are introduced to the pain pills, you know, through the injury or surgery legitimately. And that's young folks, too, some. But the thing is, a young person who's had an injury, the docs and the healthcare providers generally are gonna cut them off pretty quick. A 60, 65-year-old that says, I have chronic pain, is much more likely to continue to get their opioids from a healthcare provider because of their age. And if you add the woman piece, that adds a piece too, you know, access to the opiates. So the kids, a lot of times, they have to go to the streets for heroin, you know. Not have to. I don't mean to justify it, but they're more likely to go to the streets for heroin because they don't have access, quote-unquote, legitimately to the opiates or the benzodiazepines, the anxiety, and the sleeping pills, which are highly addictive also.
We are talking about the impact of marketing and alcohol to stressed-out women. How do alcoholism rates among women affect you? Could you give us a call and let us know your questions or comments at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. The alcohol industry will spend $2 billion on advertising this year, and a lot of that's on social media, and it's pretty narrowly targeted to young women who are new to adulthood and living on their own. Suddenly, they're able to crack open a bottle of wine in their apartment with friends, you know, maybe in their early to mid-20s. Leslie, do you find that to be dangerous, like they're just kind of preying on a newfound independence?
Well, I mean, of course it is. I mean, it's just like the tobacco industry did it. Again, these people... These are big, giant corporations, billion-dollar corporations. They have all the science and marketing. They know, as an example, in the tobacco, they know the female brain gets addicted faster to tobacco. They know the same thing with alcohol, and they're hitting their target. I mean, they've got their scope, they've got the mark, and they pull it. They pull the trigger, and they're taking them down.
And in the Washington Post article, there is a reference to a group of people that are going to try to impose the same type of regulations on the alcohol industry as they did after they saw the increase in lung cancer rates after the tobacco industry. And then they got them kind of slowed down on their advertising. So that's still in the proposal phase. But similarly, Brenda, I wanted to ask you, with older women who find themselves newly retired or maybe widowed with no constraints, and as you mentioned earlier, having feeling like they lost a purpose, do you see this type of marketing trying to edge into the psyche of somebody that has a bit of a new independence?
It could, you know, the whole piece of taking advantage of people when they've had a loss or grief. I don't see the whole social media piece at all catching on to a woman 50, 60 plus. And I don't hear that from our clients. It's more the loss that can trigger just wanting to feel good. And, you know, we all want to feel good. And a lot of times it's loss of role, both with maybe their kids, but also having been a caregiver, whether that's of a partner, a spouse, or their parents. So the whole grief play piece or displacement of role, whether that's male or female, can really play into people too.
That has a huge impact. And I wanted to ask you, is recovery from alcoholism the same for women as it is for men, not psychologically, but physically?
Women tend to, like, their detox generally takes a little bit longer. As we said, you know, medically they may have more consequences. So if you're talking of just physical, it could take a little bit longer. And then you add the age factor. So we've had people, normally when you're talking alcohol detox, you're talking maybe 3 days, typically, you know, letting it get out of the system, medicating it slowly. Alcohol is the number one drug people die in withdrawal of. Opiates are the number one drug people overdose on, you know, but that withdrawal piece for alcohol can be really, really tenuous. So you want some medical oversight in it. Generally, it's three days, max five. We've had middle-aged women 10 days in an alcohol detox because their bodies are just so slow at getting rid of that poison, you know, that the docs have to bring them down slow. So it can be very, very, very dangerous. As far as recovery, a lot of the same principles apply, but we also need to look at possible different issues. Like for a lot of people who are in recovery, they may have had a history of trauma of some sort, and they might look at that. But for gals, generally trauma comes from people who say they love you. From guys, generally trauma comes from people who say they hate you. Criminal, gangs, the war, you know. So there's different issues as people do enter recovery, and we're equal but different physically, but also emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah. We have a phone call coming in from Susan in Naples. What would you like to say, Susan?
Hi, my name is Susan, and I love this topic. I'm 19 years in recovery from alcoholism. I got sober and I was 22. And I just love how you're touching on the marketing to women, because I see it with my age group. I'm in my 40s now with the whole mother's little helper, and you need this to get through a play date. And, you know, even though marketing isn't wine, mommy's time out, it's kind of disturbing how they're kind of finding this new niche marketing for stressed out middle-aged women. And as a sober woman, I kind of sit there and have to kind of, it makes me pause.
Yeah, and that's mainly the purpose of the show today, is maybe just take a closer look at what this type of marketing, how it impacts people. I want to thank you for calling and sharing, and congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, right on, girl.
We have another call coming in also from Brandon in Fort Myers. Brandon, what would you like to say?
Hi, first of all, I want to say, Brenda, you do a fantastic job. This is Brandon Short, addiction medicine psychiatry. I even wanted to mention that women also metabolize detox drugs worse than men do as well. For example, women do much better on Ativan than they do Librium. I mean, that just goes to show how much differently women, you know, metabolize alcoholism. Great job, Brenda, and Chick to Recovery. You guys are amazing, and I just want to tell you thanks so much. Thanks, Brenda, so much.
Thank you. For your listeners, Brandon. Does a great job working with people, getting them detoxed and then on to psychiatric meds. He does not work for Hazleton, but we have high respect for him. So thanks for calling in, Brandon.
It sounds like everybody's kind of on the same road. And Leslie, I wanted to give you a second to tell me a little bit more about Street Chicks in Recovery. Tell me about this group and the name. Tell me a little bit about what you do.
Okay. Street Chicks in Recovery started 5 years ago. Again, I created the company to hire and train women recovering from alcoholism and drug addiction. I saw that economically the playing field was not level, and I wanted to help those women on an economic level. I started the company in 2011. I was still painting. I still actually paint sometimes to help pay the bills. And we started out, I wrote a little book, A Meditation for Street Chicks. I think that I kind of feel like there was a niche in women who had went all the way to the bottom, which I did with my alcoholism and drug addiction. So we put together a little meditation book there, and we put together a little book of help, and I had an illustrator, and we just kind of made stuff simple for the women on the street. And then I had a friend of mine that says, you know, why don't you try some TV and try to get some sponsorship doing that. So I got a studio. We put together a little place out in Cape Coral, wallpapered it with some brick, and got like, you know, $300 high-definition cameras. And I commissioned my friend Mikey Bacanza, who used to do audio for rock and roll bands, to come on in. And we started the Street Chicks in Recovery TV show. And, you know, Brenda Eliff's been a guest on. We'd like to have her on again. We did the little studio. Then we bounced. We were doing so well there. We bounced up into a full broadcast at the Christian Television Network, which I want to give a shout-out to Paula Dotto, who, because we weren't pushing Christianity, we're pushing recovery. recovery, but he put us on as a family show and really believed in what we were doing.
The communication is pretty much the key. And I think, Brenda, also you have done some work with writing regarding recovery specifically for women.
Yep. We have Hazelton has put out a book called A Woman's Guide to Recovery, which it really talks a lot about how it's so different. You know, as women, we're created equal but different. We recover different. We go down quicker. We relapse for different reasons, but still recovery is a natural. And there's wonderful programs such as Street Chicks that help women. We're all different, but we all, recovery is possible for all.
And I wanted to ask you, Brenda, a question. Once somebody kind of thinks, maybe I do have a problem, and then they come to you for help, or they call in, or they show up at the door, what can someone expect to happen?
Well, it depends on what they need. You know, some people might just need a little bit of education, or some people may need a referral to a 12-step support group. For some reason, that's the way the majority of people get into recovery, and we're lucky to be in a recovery environment where there's strong 12-step, both in Collier and Lee County. But if they come for treatment, some people need a residential detox, safety first, you know, and especially with the alcohol, we may refer them to a provider like Brandon or to, you know, David Lawrence or and Naples Community or, you know, first things first, get that medical detox happening. And then once they come to treatment, and they might come to an outpatient program. We have a lot of people in the community who come three afternoons a week, for 3 hours, and then they're off going, living life, you know. Or
what do they do in those 3 hours? Like they come in and just, what happens?
They'll come in and there'll be education on what is addiction, how does this pertain to me, what might be some tools in recovery. If they're 50 plus here, they'd be in a special group for people 50 plus, because a lot of times they don't want to be with the younger generation. So they'd have their own group. Or if they're an opiate addict, they might be in a special group with other people who are opiate addicts, or they might be in a woman's group, or they might be in a men's group. There's a lot of education, but also meetings with counselors and group counseling for people, depending on the program they're in. We have folks that live here. We have folks that come in just for the day and then go back home because maybe they're caregivers. And then we have folks that are just true outpatients. So My hope is that if they come, they find hope, because it doesn't have to hurt like this. The people do change. And they'll also be introduced to the 12-step recovery community, to our alumni. We have a coffee shop on site. I mean, we want the community to come in.
To make it feel like a comforting and warm place to go.
Absolutely. Very respectful, very warm. At this site, they can have their cell phones, their internet access, because this is about real life.
Leslie, do you find that kind of support is important too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to have that support to make it in recovery.
And giving someone a voice. And
I mean, you just need a community, you know. If it takes a village to raise children, it takes a village to get sober.
All right. Well, I wanted to thank you both for joining us today. Brenda Iliff with the Hazelden Betty Ford Center in Naples, and also Leslie Robinson with Street Chicks in Recovery. It was great talking with you and kind of taking a critical view of the marketing with alcohol and how these rates have gone up. I want to tell you, thank you for what you do and for coming on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing visibility to this important subject. Thank you.
Thanks. Coming up, we talk with paper artist Matthew Schlein. Stay with us.